Now, Lachlan's handing out a handout. I've got a handout tonight. I don't usually do that. But I did tonight because there's quite a lot of scriptures that I want to get through. And they're like here, there and everywhere. And some major ones too. But I thought I'd print out all these scriptures for what I'm going to talk about tonight, because you might want to look at them later when you find out what it's about. Don't read them now. Look up here. What I want to talk about tonight is about a bloke called Cyrus. Who's heard of Cyrus, or who hasn't heard of Cyrus? Oh, no, don't put your hand up. Don't do that. That means you haven't been reading your Bible. Cyrus, he's in the Bible. You've heard of Cyrus Persian Carpets? Well, Cyrus Persian Carpets is named after the bloke I'm going to talk about tonight. All right? Cyrus the Persian. And in Scripture, he's called the Lord's Shepherd. And the title of my message tonight is Cyrus, the Lord's Shepherd. Colleen, have you got one of those lozenges? Just get it ready for me, thanks. I don't want it yet, but I might. So tonight, in line with the series of short messages that we've been presenting on a Wednesday night, answering the many questions that unbelievers ask regarding our claims that God is real, that Jesus died for our sins, that the Bible is able to be proven true from cover to cover, etc., 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 I want to add another incredible example to our claim that we can know the Bible is true because of all its accurately fulfilled prophecies. Amen? Now, Pastor James has already talked on this topic, but I'm going to talk again on it. This is a good one. Accurately fulfilled prophecies. And in my estimation, perhaps one of the most exciting fulfilled prophecies in the whole of Scripture is the prophecy about a heathen king named Cyrus and his being used by God to restore his people, the Jews, from captivity in Babylon back to their homeland in Israel. Before we look at this prophecy, though, let's have a look at one of God's claims about himself, a claim that assures us that the prophecies in the Bible can be trusted to be fulfilled exactly as God foretells that they will. Do we believe that? We do believe that, don't we? If it's in the Bible, if it hasn't already happened, it's gonna. All right? It's going to happen. So, my first scripture tonight, now you can look at it on the leaflet that I've given you. If you prefer to look at it in the Bible, good. But I'm going to be moving on, all right? So our first scripture tonight that I want us to look at is Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. We're going to have a look at something that the Lord says about himself regarding whether the Bible's true, all right? Whether we can trust it. Here's what he says in Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Starting in verse 9, he says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." God says here that he declares at the beginning things that are not yet done, but which are going to take place. Either they've already taken place or they're going to take place in the future. Amen. Let's pray and offer the service to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again, Lord, to open your word and to look and see what the scriptures say about everything, Lord. What they say about us, what they say about you, what they say about everyone else, and what they say about situations in the world. Everything we want to know, we can find in Scripture. All things pertaining to life and godliness have been written down for our admonition and for our instruction, and we thank you, Lord, that you gave it to us in a book that we can open up and look within and find out everything we need to know. Just help us tonight, Lord, as we go through these quite a few scriptures, and maybe even seem to some people to be a bit disjointed. But I just pray, Lord, that it'll communicate good to the people, Lord, and they'll understand at the end what we're talking about. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. In Jeremiah 25 verses 8 to 12, we read where God used Jeremiah to reveal to his people that because they refused to obey his word, they would be taken into captivity to Babylon at the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar. And also that the duration of their captivity would be specifically 70 years. Right? Verse 11 declares that the Jews would serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Verse 12 further declares that it will come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans and will make it a perpetual desolation. That's what God said in Jeremiah 25 verses 8 to 12. More than a century before Jeremiah pronounced the Lord's prophecy, however, the prophet Isaiah also spoke forth the word of the Lord, proclaiming that the Jews would be captured and oppressed by the Babylonians. Then after a period, they would be returned to their homeland. More amazingly, though, Isaiah even went so far as to name the person who would be responsible for their release. He announced that their Redeemer would be a king named Cyrus, and this was generations before Cyrus was even born. Okay? And you might have some smart theologians that'll tell you, oh yeah, but they wrote all this down after the event. No, they didn't. This was all prophecy that's been fulfilled. If you know the story, God used Cyrus to overthrow the Babylonians. You might remember the account in chapter 5 of the book of Daniel where Belshazzar, the nephew and successor of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, was throwing a drunken party with all the nobles of the land, and he was defiling God's holy instruments which had been plundered from the temple in Jerusalem. Do you remember the story? Suddenly, in front of everyone, a hand appeared out of thin air, scaring the daylights out of them all, and wrote the words on the wall, "Mene, mene, tekel, apharsin." Wrote that on the wall. The finger wrote it in the concrete. Some people sobered up very quickly, I can tell you. If you read the account, the scriptures, I've got them there on the piece of paper for you. Now, when I first ran across this story about King Cyrus, I was totally amazed. It was before computers. So I've been very generous to you people tonight. I've gone on my computer and searched in my Bible program and cut and pasted all the bits and pieces out of it that you need. But when I first ran into this story, I had to get all these books to get everything together. What was going on here with this King Cyrus? This finger came out and wrote these words on the wall. And there was uproar in the king's palace, I can tell you. Everybody was scared out of their wits. Anyhow, they couldn't work out what it was. But Daniel, he was brought before the king to read and interpret the words. And in Daniel 5, 26 to 28, you'll find that in here, over the page, in the middle. Daniel chapter 5 and 26 to 31 in there, we read God's fearful pronouncement to the king. In verse 26 says, this, Daniel reading out the interpretation says, this is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, the word mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Wow. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. You've all heard that saying, eh? You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. That's where it comes from here. Perez, the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. That's what Daniel told the king when they couldn't work out what it was. They got Daniel to interpret the words, and that's what it meant. In verse 30 and 31 of this same chapter, the Bible states, In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom. Although the Bible states here that the city and the kingdom was taken by Darius, it was actually Cyrus, his nephew, who led the army, which broke into the city and took it captive. Cyrus was in command of the army, acting on behalf of his uncle, Darius the Mede, all right? So although it says as Darius did it, right, it was actually Cyrus. Now that's another one that they'll try and nail with. Ah, you see, it wasn't Cyrus, it was Darius. Well, Cyrus was acting on behalf of his uncle. His uncle was probably at home, I don't know. But he wasn't there. Again, if you know some of the background of this historic event, there were some very specific details given in Isaiah's prophecy which were fulfilled while all the members, all the leaders of Babylon were drunk, celebrating with the king. The Lord himself performed some miracles which providentially enabled Cyrus, under cover of darkness, to gain entry into the heavily fortified and supposedly invincible city. The waters of the Euphrates River ran through the middle of the city of Babylon. Two huge metal gates were set in the fortified walls, one where the river entered the city and the other where it exited. Both banks of the river within the city were also heavily fortified with walls. Interspersed within these walls were huge metal gates which allowed access to the river. All of these gates were under guard and normally kept securely locked. On the night of Belshazzar's party, however, as he was having fun with God's holy vessels, Cyrus was outside the city redirecting the flow of the Euphrates River via canals that he'd spent the last year preparing for this occasion. Providentially, the fortified gates had also been opened. And as the water level dropped in the river, Cyrus and his army entered and took the city. As prophesied by Daniel just hours before, and as recorded for our benefit in the book of Daniel, chapter 5 and verse 30, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain that very night. Fulfilled prophecy. Pretty amazing stuff, eh? Don't you reckon? I thought it was. I was really impressed with all this. Anyhow. Now remember in Jeremiah 25 and verse 12 we read, "And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations." When Belshazzar was slain, the 70 years were up. Fulfilled prophecy again. In 2 Chronicles 36, verses 22 to 23, we read further about King Cyrus. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, Cyrus has now taken the city, and now we're reading about after the event. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, he's in Babylon, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he make a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it into writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, the king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he has charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea." That's what Cyrus said, all right? The question should be asked, though, what would cause Cyrus to entertain the thought of sending the Jews back to Jerusalem to build their temple? Or as Cyrus called it, the house of God. Why would a heathen king be bothered to send these Jewish subjects back to the land they'd been taken captive from 70 years previous? Why would it interest him even? Huh? Well, now we come to the exciting part of our little study tonight. I'm not the type of person who gets much kick out of skits and dramas. But tonight I want all of us just to pretend for a short while that we are King Cyrus. Righto? We're all King Cyrus. And we have subdued the kingdom of the Babylonians, and now we're just taking it easy, sitting in Belshazzar's throne, reminiscing about our great victory. Okay? We've conquered the city, and we're now at ease. Okay? Sitting on the king's throne. He's killed that other king, and he's sitting there. We are not told in Scripture how King Cyrus became aware of Isaiah's prophecy. However, it is possible that he was told by Daniel. Daniel was there. Or by Ezra the priest. He was there. Or by Nehemiah even. Nehemiah was there too. However it was that he came to know about Isaiah's prophecy, it was plain that he understood that he was the one named in it, and that he had been chosen before his birth to perform a service to the God of the Jews, the one who claimed to be the sovereign God and creator of all things. Imagine Cyrus's amazement and utter shock when he came to the prophecy about himself and realised that almost 150 years before his birth, he had been named and ordained by God of the Israelites as becoming a mighty conquering king, and that he would perform a specific task for this God whom he neither knew nor worshipped. I like what Josephus wrote about this event. Josephus was a Jewish historian from around the time of Christ, and he wrote that God stirred up the mind of Cyrus and made him write this throughout of all Asia. This is what he wrote. Thus say, we just read it, thus saith Cyrus the king, since God Almighty hath anointed me or appointed me to be king of the habitable earth, I believe that he is that God which the nations of the Israelites worship. For indeed he foretold my name, by the prophets, and that I should build him an house at Jerusalem in the country of Judea. Josephus wrote, when Cyrus saw his name in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, and realised it was speaking about him, he admired the divine power and earnest desire and ambition seized upon him to fulfil what was so written. That's what Josephus wrote. Now, Josephus was alive around the time of Christ. He's a Jewish historian. Very interesting history stuff. It's not in the Bible, the stuff that he's... But a lot of it is. A lot of it is fulfilled prophecy. You'll find it in the book of Josephus. So, let's pretend for the moment that we are Cyrus, and we'll read what he did. We're going to read what Cyrus did as he sat upon the king's throne, thinking that he was the greatest thing in all of creation, and it was by his power and great wisdom that he had turned... He'd been running around conquering the nations. He thought it was in his power that he was doing it. Let's read what Isaiah wrote, and let's put ourselves in the place of Cyrus the Great as we do. We're going to read Isaiah chapter 44. Now, it's on the bottom. It starts on the bottom of the second page of your printout. If you want to read along in that or get in your Bible, please yourself. But read along with me, because we're going to see what Cyrus read in the book of Isaiah, okay? We're going to see what Cyrus read as he sat upon the throne reading this scroll, or somebody was reading it to him, the scroll of Isaiah. Starting in chapter 44 and verses 24 to 28, and we're going to go to chapter 45, verses 1 to 13. I'll get a drink first, eh? Before we go through this. Very exciting. Here. Thus saith the Lord. Now remember, Cyrus is reading this. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish. So in other words, if anyone thinks he's smart, they're not smart compared to me. Alright, that confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof, that saith to the deep, think about the river drying up now, be dry, and I will dry up thy waters, that saith of Cyrus, there's Cyrus's name, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Wow. Wow. Now, have you ever had the scriptures talk to you?
Yeah.
Have you ever had the scriptures talk to you? When you're reading along in scripture and you know God's speaking to you. Well, this was on steroids. Cyrus was reading the scriptures, and this is what was happening to him. The Holy Ghost got hold of him and let him know, this is God speaking to you, man. Sit up, take notice. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, named him again, whose right hand I have held and subdued nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him two-leaved gates. Two-leaved gates. What? In and out of the city, on the river. And the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob's sake, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know that from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So God was speaking and saying, I'm the God, the one God, and I'm speaking to you, Cyrus. I form the light and create darkness, verse 7. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say unto him that fashioned it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. Even my hands have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness and will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. That's what King Cyrus read or had written to him. So you can understand when Josephus said he was, the divine thing came upon him and caused him, wow, I've got to do something here. This God of the Hebrews, he's the one that opened the gates. He's the one that helped me through him to dry up the river. You read the history of that drying up the Euphrates River. He was there for 12 months digging channels out from the river that diverted the flow out of the city and around the city, because the city was under siege. So 12 months he set aside just to do that. The river went down, the gates were open, in they went. And he reads about it in here. God knew about it hundreds of years before it even happened. And even named him. Imagine if it had in there, Andy Bedford, I have named you. Huh? Think about it. What did Cyrus have come upon him? Well, to complete our brief study tonight, let me quote from the book of Ezra. Chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, which are exactly the same words you will find recorded in the previous book of the Bible, which is 2 Chronicles 36, 22-23. In Ezra it says, Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the words of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea. The book of Ezra records the people returning from Babylon to Jerusalem for that very purpose, to rebuild the temple, the Lord's house. The book in the Bible following the book of Ezra is the book of Nehemiah, which records the finalization of the work when the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt and the prophecies of Jeremiah and Isaiah concerning Cyrus were complete. Amen? They were complete. No other book in the whole world can match the accuracy of the Bible for fulfilled prophecy, proving that only someone who knows the end from the beginning wrote it. Amen? 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 Can we trust in the Bible?
Amen.
Can we trust that what it says will come to pass? Is the Bible the book of God?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray, all right? Thank you, Lord, for this short study, brief study about King Cyrus. And also, Lord, something in there to confirm to us that we don't really need it anyway, but it's good to have it, Lord, that your word will stand. It will surely come to pass, the things you've said in there, Lord, that that you've decreed will come to pass, Lord. And Lord, as we live in this age that we live in, when there's not really many prophecies to be fulfilled now, Lord, before you return, help us, Lord, to believe your word. And Lord, be ready. Be ready, Lord, for your soon coming. We thank you for your word to us. We thank you for the encouragement we can get from it, Lord, to assure us, Lord, that what you've spoken will surely come to pass. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.